In January, Patrick Cavey will be sworn in as one of the youngest city councilors in Pittsfield, Massachusetts history. The 27-year-old is operations manager for Main Street Hospitality, which manages hotels like Hotel on North in Pittsfield and the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge. Cavey beat longtime former councilor Jonathan Lothrop in the 2019 election to represent the city's 5th ward. Cavey sat down with WAMC to talk about how he plans to navigate Pittsfield's often contentious politics, his stance on managing the city's finances, and how he's preparing for his new role.
A lot of preparation. I've actually had constituents reaching out, even though I'm not technically sworn in, so they, in theory, would still refer to Donna Todd Rivers, who's their councilor right now, but a lot of the issues they're having are issues that I can handle pretty easily in January, and a lot of them are just very happy that we've had the back and forth and at least have the conversation started. But as far as other preparation, we have new counselor orientation. So, for example, last night I spent 3 hours with each department head in the city, getting to know them, what they do. I have this lovely binder that's probably about 5 inches thick. It gives specific information as to who I'd reach out to if I have a certain issue. And what I thought was awesome after talking with the majority of the department heads, in the event that I go to the wrong department, they are more than willing to help me find the right person to talk to so I can get an issue resolved faster. I also have a couple conferences I have to go to. Dina and Yuki and Tony will be with me the 3rd week in January. So we'll be in Boston for about 72 hours, basically learning all about municipal finance, how to do exactly what we need to do. We have one-on-ones with council president. Lots and lots of training is what we're doing right now. Lots of preparation for January 6th.
For the listeners at home, you were just referring to fellow incoming city councilors Anthony Mufukio, Yuki Cohen, and Dina Guiel-Lampiazzi. So we just got through an extremely contentious, somewhat partisan era of Pittsfield city governance. I know that during the campaign, you were endorsed by Melissa Mazzeo, and you ran against Jonathan Lothrop, who's a pretty well-established higher ally. Heading into this new cycle, how do you hope to fall in the council chambers once the politicking actually begins?
Well, so I look at my role as very independent of what's happening at the mayoral level. So half of my constituents supported one candidate. The other half supported the other candidate. And I'm here to support them. So I want all of my constituents to feel like they can come to me, speak to me, and know that I'm an independent voice and I'm really there for them and not for the executive branch in the city. As far as Tyre goes, I look forward to meeting with her more often. We've actually sat down so far 4 times since I won. We had lunch a couple times. We've kind of discussed some plans for the future, but haven't really gotten too much into it. We'll do more of that later on. We have a really good rapport. We have a very similar vision for the direction we want to see the city go in, and we have a very open dialogue right now. So in the event that we do disagree on something, I think we'll be able to sit down and kind of figure out why we have a difference of opinion and work through it and come up with a better plan. So I'm actually pretty excited. I'm pretty excited with the council makeup, and I'm pretty excited with who our mayor is right now.
You ran for office at 26. You're now 27. You'll be entering the council chambers as possibly one of the youngest politicians in Pittsfield history. How does that feel?
I think it's exciting, and I think that's why people were so on board with me. We can't keep doing the exact same thing to get different results. One thing that I actually spoke with a constituent about last night is the intersection of West Housatonic and South Street. So as I'm sure a lot of people know, trucks like to take a right going south on Route 7 onto Route 20 West, and they keep hitting that building on the corner. They keep hitting the streetlight. We've put signage up in Park Square to try and detour them down Center Street, so down West Street to Center Street, because there's a larger turning lane, Center Street onto West Housatonic, so we don't have that issue anymore. It's not working. So a younger person with a different perspective can come in and try something different. I reached out to truck drivers and asked them, why do you think truck drivers specifically from out of the area aren't following our truck route signs? And they said, well, think about it like this. If you're driving a truck and there are 150 signs around you, you are not necessarily looking at the signage, you're looking at the GPS system in your truck. And there are two large GPS companies that are installed in these big rigs. So I was told by a truck driver to reach out to the GPS companies. So very simple. Gave them a call. They're supposed to, when they update their maps, reroute truck traffic down West Street to Center Street. So hopefully it'll alleviate the problem, but we'll have to wait and see. But again, just younger, newer ideas and different opinions, different perspectives on the council. I think it's going to really help out.
A common topic of disagreement in the most recent iteration of the council concerned fiscal planning for Pittsfield. The difference between, I guess I'll try to loosely explain the two camps, one being thinking ahead and investing in the future, and the other being more trying to focus on getting savings to the taxpayers as quickly as possible to feel like government is responding to rising cost of living. When you look at these two different conversations about fiscal planning, and I think of the most recent debate over the use of free cash going into the 2020 tax rates, do you fall into one of those camps?
I think I actually resonate with both of those camps. So a lot of what I've done professionally is obviously investing in the future, looking at our long-term goals, investing where we need to so we don't spend less money short-term and have larger problems long-term. But I agree with one side who's saying we should spend a little less money. We should be looking at our budget, and I'm actually going through budget training right now. So spending lots and lots and lots of time going through our old budgets, figuring out exactly what they mean. I have my degree in management, and I'm going back to school for business analytics. So as far as finance goes, we can trim the fat in a few areas, but I also agree with the idea that we need to be investing in some larger goals that we have coming down the pipeline.
When you look at like a budget like Pittsfield's, are there any areas where you're like, well, I think this is one I'd like to focus on and to really understand? Like, you know, for example, the school budget is often a hot topic of debate. Is there any particular field where you're like, well, this is something I want to apply my focus to?
On January 6th, we'll know exactly what committees that I'm on. I've said what I'd like to be on, and the reason I've said I'd like to be on certain committees is because I think we need more oversight in a few areas. But up until then, I'm going to kind of hold off on that just because I don't want to step on anyone's toes. As far as the school budget goes, I support our educators, and I think that education, I mean, with my campaign, education is the base for everything. We have ways to get tax revenue into the city, though, that doesn't necessarily have to affect taxpayers in a way that we increase how much they're paying. So, for example, cannabis. I spoke a lot about cannabis in my campaign. As far as cannabis goes, there's a 10.75% state tax, 6.25% sales tax, and then a 3% municipal tax. So we get the 3% municipal tax. There's also a host fee. So the host fee starts at $60,000 and goes up to $200,000 incrementally for up to 5 years. So in 5 years, Berkshire Roots, for example, will be paying us $200,000 just to open their doors. I think of it kind of like a liquor license. So just with that base of new income coming into the city, that tax revenue, and then with the idea of more dispensaries opening and cultivation facilities, we're going to be getting significantly more tax revenue just from that area alone, so we can invest in education. If you look at what that money is supposed to go to, it's specifically supposed to go to communities that were affected by the war on drugs. So Pittsfield is one of 29 communities that actually gets additional funding from the state because of our incarceration rate with the war on drugs, which happened long time ago. We're trying to make it right in the state, and I think we are hopefully going to make it right in the city with a lot of the community development plans we have using cannabis money. In the event we set up cultivation facilities, I know there's been a lot of back and forth about the cultivation facility that's opening in the William Stanley Business Park. It's going to bring us at least $500,000 a year in tax revenue. So although it's only creating 12 jobs, that's still a big increase to the city coffers. And if we can continue working with them and getting that revenue into the city, we can hopefully kind of not lose any more services, not raise our taxes. Another big part of that, which was a big part of my campaign, is retaining young people. So if we continue to have our population decline, our taxes are going to go up if we want the same services. So if we can really kind of solidify the base of young people in the area, like myself, like you, my target demographic right now is 24 to like 34-ish, really trying to create jobs for those people, increase wages, make it a great place to raise a family, then we won't have these issues down the road where we're going to, I mean, see our water continue to go up, see our electricity continue to go up, see all of our utility costs continue to grow. I think the city has some pretty great plans infrastructure-wise. I talk a lot about internet. So we're talking about creating our own basically broadband network, our own infrastructure underneath the city that would make it so we could pay into the city, have faster internet at a lower cost than Spectrum. When you kind of take all of these different pieces of the equation and you put them together, residents will end up paying less in the future if we can kind of, again, bring all these puzzle pieces together. But we have to have the right people in office really paying attention to the numbers, really paying attention to where we're spending money and bringing all of these, again, puzzle pieces together.
So after all the campaigning, I'm interested, what is your final takeaway about Ward 5, your ward? What is the character of Ward 5? You know, it's split politically in some ways, but you know, it's a really central part of the city. I want to hear in your own words, like, what you learned about it over the course of all of this.
So I think Ward 5 is one of the most unique wards in the city. And part of the reason I think that is because of just how large it is. So our wards are set up based on population. We have a population of right around 6,000 in each ward. Five is the largest, most rural. You have four, which is also very large, but five has these different urban clusters throughout. Four has a lot of kind of conservation land along the Housatonic River into Lenox. So in five, you'll have off of South Street, you'll have South Mountain Road, Spadina Parkway, Cole Ave, Gamwell, Velma, that are all very, it's a densely populated area and it's a cluster and it's very culturally different than outer West Housatonic Street. So if you're near Clarkson, for example, Grape Street, you have a neighborhood that just walking the streets there, you see 15 to 20 kids out playing all the time. You have other neighborhoods, if you're Melbourne, Lebanon, around there, where it's an older demographic, so you have a lot more senior citizens. As far as culturally goes, closer to the center of the city, we have a significantly younger population in five. So if you're near the Athenaeum, if you're on Wendell, if you're on Bartlett, there are a lot more apartments and you have a lot more young professionals moving in and out. So even throughout the campaign, my voter list specifically in that neighborhood continued to change because there were so many people moving in, moving out, moving in, moving out. Then you have people on County Court. You have people on Outer Barker Road. You have people on Central Berkshire Boulevard and the outskirts of Ward 5 that have been there for 20, 30, 40 years. They can tell me the year that their road was repaved, the exact year. And one reason that I really think Ward 5 is unique and special, we have the airport. We have Guardian Insurance. We have Wayfair. We have the Berkshire Eagle. We have Interprint. We have some of the largest employers in the entire county in our ward. So you have this balance between this urban lifestyle in one section of the ward, this rural lifestyle where the driveways, for example, are a mile long, really fun to walk up, especially when you're knocking on doors. It doesn't take any longer to walk up a mile driveway than it does to, no, I'm kidding. And then you have these big businesses with their campuses in our ward. So in the event that you're a resident, you can basically eat, shop, play, and work within Ward 5. It's its own little hub.